class now.
Were you guys good meeting the board?
Yes.
The board? The board say anything worthwhile?
They were boring.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't know whether or not they tell you this or just post it on the door, but years ago, we had a I remember about three or four individuals a number of years ago who really had an issue, really had problems with chemical sensitivity. So this says, please remind students that this is a sensory campus. That people should especially be aware of shampoo and conditioner and deodorant and all those kinds of things. BO is not necessarily acceptable. You want to take care of that. But all these scents, you know, people are more and more sensitive to those kinds of things, and they get headaches and all kinds of stuff like that. So just a reminder that you want to be careful with that. And that extends, now I would say that extends to something else in the classroom. That extends to stuff, certain stuff from the cafeteria entering the classroom. I remember a number of years ago when I was in 146 or 146, somebody who was always early to class so that she could leave her stuff and then go to the cafeteria and get the smelliest stuff on and then come back and then sit in the front row. And one day she did that, put her plate down, went back out again. I don't know why. I just have consideration for our people who are certainly very sensitive to chemical things. But also, okay. So there's that issue dealt with. Yesterday's cards, I thought, were very interesting in a number of ways. And the interesting thing I found was that there are those people who would say, I'm really frustrated because this is so slow. And then there were those people who said, I'm really frustrated because they have these pieces of information that that fit within a database, and they're linked together in some way, but not in some cohesive way, or logical way, or plausible way. So all that information is there, but to take one particular piece of that and try to decide how this particular piece affects the system is difficult. Next priority will come. So we have limitations for that. Then, of course,
sabers are there and create a lightsaber gradient or a positive charge gradient that's going to push positive charges from the outside back toward the inside. And we initially said the only ion we're going to let move through this membrane is potassium. Okay. So when the force of that chemical gradient is balanced by the force of the charge gradient, we're going to have no net movement. And we're going to measure the potential difference, the difference between the inside and the outside of the membrane, and we're going to call that the membrane potential. Now, it's really important to realize anyways, it's really important to realize that whenever we talk about potentials, we're talking about a difference. Ratios are not differences. And you want to keep that in mind. Because lots of folks think about ratios for some unknown reason. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things. I mean, I talked to my colleague in Chicago, you know, and he said, "Doc, there's another one." Well, they're thinking about ratios. They keep talking about ratios because you know what? They don't know what a ratio means. So that's a common issue here. So we're talking about a potential difference. It's a very simple thing, from the inside to the outside. And that potential difference is going to represent, Alex?
I guess I'm having trouble with this part, so I'll ask a question.
Okay.
If you, say, have 80 on one side and 1 on the other, you have a difference of 79, right? But the ratio is really, really extreme. Isn't that going to affect it more than if you have like 100 on one side and 180 on the other side? Is that going to have a greater effect? No.
Because what you're talking about is, by definition, is a difference.
Yeah.
Okay? When you say that you measure, if you have that picture that we had with the water on one side and nothing on the other side, you say, oh, there's potential energy. How do you measure potential energy? You say, oh, it's the height of this minus the height of that. Okay? That's not necessarily a ratio. Okay? That's a common problem. That's a common issue. Yep. Yeah.
So, when you're talking about the
That number comes, it's the difference between the number of charges or millivolts on the inside and the number of charges or millivolts on the outside.
So if you're -70, that's at resting potential?
No, that's a value. And we said that value, from what we talked about yesterday, corresponded to the number that we may have gotten when we were only talking about the membrane being permeable capacity. In that conversation, the reason I'm going to emphasize that is because you're going to read someplace else where, in fact, that is the resting potential. Okay? So you've got to consider what the situation is. In the situation that we were talking about, we said that only potassium could move. So we were going to call that the equilibrium potential for potassium. Now, depending on what the concentrations are, that could be minus 90, could be minus 80, could be all kinds of things. But it tells us that the accumulation of charge is on the outside of the cell. And that the force of that gradient is going to tend to move charges from the outside to the inside. That's what the mind is.
So it's still understand
where
the numbers. Are you adding up?
No, I'm putting a meter, fitting a voltmeter. Putting a voltmeter, and I'm putting one probe of the voltmeter inside the cell and one probe on the outside of the cell. And I'm calling the outside the reference. Okay?
Nothing that you can determine based on.
Well, there are ways that you can determine it. If you know the concentrations on the inside and outside, you know the relative permeability. That drops out, and you know the gas interuniversal gas constant, and you know the temperature. Okay? And those of you who had some physiology calculate that value in something called the Nernst equation. But in general, you're saying, no, how do I do it? I measure. Okay? Or I can determine it somewhere. Conceptually, it's the difference between the inside and the outside. Okay. Everybody with us? So now what did we say? We said we're dealing with one ion. It has positive charges. We're seeing a balance of forces, of driving forces, across that membrane, and we're defining the equilibrium potential for that ion as something. From the inside and the outside when there's no natural force. And we said that all that depended on really was the concentration of that ion across the membrane. The chemical concentration. So if I make the chemical concentration bigger, what's going to happen to that equilibrium potential? It's going to get more negative. So it's going to get bigger. Okay, it's going to push back more. And it didn't depend on the permeability. Why not? Why didn't it depend on permeability? Because the permeability doesn't affect the driving force, it doesn't affect that endpoint. It affects the time that it takes to get to the endpoint. As long as we're talking about one ion, we don't care about the permeability. And then we said, okay, let's talk about a different ion. Let's talk about sodium. And now, their sodium concentration on the outside of the cell is greater than the sodium chemical concentration on the inside of the cell. So now we have a driving force, a chemical force, that's tending to move sodiums to the inside of the cell. But there are other pluses on the inside of the cell. So when sodiums move across that membrane to the inside of the cell, they're going to add to the number of plus charges on the inside of the cell. Those plus charges are going to push back. Okay, so now I have a charge force pushing one direction, chemical force pushing the other direction. I'm going to reach some point where there's no net movement across the membrane. I'm going to call that, measure that then, that difference across the membrane. I'm going to call that the equilibrium potential for sodium, and is that going to be positive or negative? It's going to be positive because I go from the inside to the outside, so it tells me that that charge force is pushing from the inside to the outside. Notice I keep talking about pushing. I don't do any pulling here. When I think about gradients and flow, I always think about pushing. We'll come back to that later on. We'll talk about our flow.
What's that got to do with what we're talking about now? Nothing. Other than that, talking about pushing.
And then we said, wait a minute, let's get realistic. And in order to get realistic, let's talk about a real cell that has channels, leak channels, for both sodium and potassium. We said, okay, let's assume for the moment, for the sake of argument, because it's very nearly that way in mammalian cells, let's say that the concentration gradients across the membrane, sodium and potassium, are near, are the same order of magnitude. So they're, for our practical purposes, essentially the same. And let's say that the number of channels that are open for sodium and potassium are about the same. So now I have a chemical force that's moving. And the permeabilities are essentially the same. What's the membrane potential going to be under those conditions?
Zero.
Why? Well, why? Because the gradient is the same here as it is here, chemical gradient, but let's say a positive moves over here. Okay? That positive is going to add to the gradient that's going to tend to push sodium back in that direction. And because they're equally permeable, when one moves out, one's going to move in. And so we're going to have a zero membrane. Does that make sense to you? All right? So now we said, let's go a step further. And let's say that the permeabilities are not equal. And so now we have a different idea. We'll say that this membrane is more permeable. It's more permeable to potassium than it is to sodium. So now we're going to have a flow through here, but it's not going to be as great. It's not going to be as great as the flow from this side of the outside of positive charges that are being carried by the potassium. And so what's going to happen on the outside of the cell? More positive charges. And the positive charges are going to cause a charge gradient that's going to act in that direction you told me. And is it going to act on potassium?
Yeah.
Two possibilities. Is it going to act on potassium? Libby, why?
Because there's more conductivity for the potassium to go back in.
It's going to act on the potassiums because the potassiums have a plus charge. And we have an accumulation of pluses. Is it going to act? Here's the trick question. Is it going to act on sodium?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Because they have a positive
charge. Okay. So what's that plus going to do? Well, that plus charge, that plus gradient is going to slow this movement down. It's going to speed that movement up. And so I'm going to end up with a membrane potential now that's positive or negative. Negative. The inside minus outside is minus. Gradient is going that way for the charges. And now I can't call it the equilibrium potential for a particular ion. Why not? Because there are two ions moving. So Chelsea, what would I call it? It's not equilibrium potential. I've got two ions moving. Now what should I call it? A resting potential. That's what you wanted to call before. A resting potential. So now, conceptually, it's the same thing. It's the resting potential. It's a potential that occurs when there's no net movement across the membrane, but there are more than one ion moving. That make more sense today? One more time. Only one more time.
I don't know what I
mean. It's the potential that we measured when there was no net movement across the membrane. Okay? Conceptually, it was analogous to equilibrium potential. But now there are two ions moving, not one. So it doesn't make sense to call it equilibrium potential. We'll say that it's a resting potential. We're going to see why we call it resting potential later today. But there are other kind of channels in this that can open and close, but under these conditions, they're not open or closed. It's not open. All right. So then the other thing we said was, the other thing we talked about yesterday that we kind of talked about now, is now you see it makes a difference. It makes a difference what the relative permeability is. And if the relative permeability of potassium is much greater than it is to sodium, then that resting membrane potential is going to get closer and closer to the equilibrium potential for potassium, right? And if the per relative permeability of the number of channels sodium opens up, this is going to get smaller. And at some point, now if I make this really big like that, to zero, and then if I open that up some more, and then more going here, and I'm going to get a deletion on the inside, and it's going to push it back that way. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go downstairs, so we're going to use a model of a giant axon of a squid. That's not the axon of a giant squid. We're not 20,000 leagues under the sea. In the squid, there's one huge axon. And historically, historically, this is the axon where a lot of this stuff has been worked out. So we're going to have that. Pay attention. We're going to have a cell that we're going to say is a giant axon of the squid. It's going to have a concentration of potassium on the inside, fairly large, and a concentration of sodium on the inside is fairly small. It also has some chloride on the inside. And we're going to ignore that. And the reason that we're going to ignore that is because the equilibrium potential for chloride in this particular cell, these concentrations, is essentially the same as the resting potential. So we can ignore it because it's not going to move a whole lot. And what we're going to do then is be able to adjust. We're going to be able to adjust the potassium concentration on the outside, and we're going to be able to adjust the sodium concentration on the outside. And the other thing we're going to be able to adjust are the number of channels that are open for both potassium and sodium. So we have a relative permeability of each channel. And what we'll do according to procedure is change some of those, predict what we think the membrane potential is going to be, and then run the experiment and see if we're right. So on the top of that picture, you're going to see a value, and Chelsea just shows that there's an electrode in here, an electrode out here. So it's measuring the membrane potential difference, okay? And it's going to have a number here, and then it's going to have an arrow, and the arrow is going to point in the direction that the gradient is acting, the charge gradient is acting. So if this is negative, that's going to be in that direction. If this is positive, it's going to be in that direction. And the size will be somewhat related to the magnitude. Okay?
Ha ha.
Have a big boom on it.
No.